It's probably the most important, in my mind, it's the most important point of prayer, is that there's actually someone else involved.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I've ever really thought about trying to teach my kids or anyone else that particular point.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in the country and how you pronounce your E's.
And this is Ben's buddy Randy, or Randall, depending on where you live in the world. And I'm a former atheist and currently a leader of a little band of cross-cultural workers called SIM.
And I was formerly a reluctant human person to go into missions. Now I'm much less reluctant.
Now you are the missions evangelist.
Missions evangelist. I do tell people about it. And I feel there's something really unique about it, and it's not for everyone. But I think that everyone should seriously pray, God, would you have me do something like this? Because I was once in a place where I thought, this is totally worthless, both for the goer, everyone, really skeptical. God's really changed my heart.
One of the things that never occurred to me until they invited me to come and serve at SIM USA was the extent to which this whole missions experience or cross-cultural experience is changing so many different people. I guess when I went, I had it in my mind that it was all about those people over there. They need to be changed. And then after 12 years and $1 million,
lots of money.
I sat there and I thought to myself, what really came out of this? And then I realized, yeah, there was a substantial impact on the people that we went to serve. And then I realized, actually, me and my wife and my children are totally different people. We'll never be the same. That we have been changed by the power of God in this work. And then I realized that some of our supporters were baptized. Other ones,
that's amazing,
got involved with church. Some of our church supporters, I think there's 9 right now that are serving in full-time ministry, that people, just the engaging in the process changes those that send a missionary, it changes the missionary, and it changes the people they go to serve. And so it's a much more of an ecosystem than I ever understood.
That's a good way of describing it. It is much more of an ecosystem than just an individual. Very cool. So what have you been up to this week?
Well, you know, I have this side hustle. apart from the work I do in leadership at SIM, I've also got a little side hustle where I'm actually, believe it or not, a bean counter. So there's the dark red kidney beans, black beans, white beans, navy beans, all of these beans.
Ooh.
I keep my own private little database of all of the worldwide trades that happen and all of the worldwide production that happens. And I keep track of how many beans are there in the world today.
Did you say navy bean? I've never heard of a navy bean.
A navy bean. It's a little white one. It's a little white one that you use it in, like, they call it a pea bean is the other name. A pea bean. It's a little white bean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, with a side hustle, I had one particular client this week that I went to visit, just to talk about beans, of course.
Riveting.
And so I went to Wisconsin, which is the area where I was born.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, it's amazing how much your language and your pronunciation and everything else. I only lived there till I was like 8 years old. But somehow or another, it all comes back. It all comes back. It's really, really cool. So anyway, there's this one guy there, and So part of what I do is count the beans, and then part of it is just talk to people about different things they need to do. And this one dude, he needs to do something really hard. And he says to me, Randy, that's going to be a really hard thing to do. How do you suggest that I do it? So I asked him straight up. I said, do you want a secular answer or a religious answer? And he said, I want a secular answer. So anyway, I told him, you know, dear Mike, make a journal entry with the three most important matters for the day, and then truly focus on those. And then the next day, come back and look at it and ask yourself, did I actually focus on what I said I would?
Mm-hmm.
I told him, if you do that, I believe you can change. I think you have it in you to change. And so then he looked at me and he said, what would you have told me if I would have said I wanted a religious answer? And I said, oh, well, that beginning there where you wrote Dear Mike, it would have said Dear God. And then the next day when you looked at it, you'd be asking God, was I faithful to focus in accordance with what I told you I wanted to do?
Wow.
And I told him, if you start off with Dear Mike, there's a 30% chance you'll succeed. If you start off with Dear God, there's an 80% chance. Anyway, it's...
Did you know that you were essentially teaching him how to pray?
You know, when he was going to ask for the religious answer, I was going to say, document a clear prayer to God every morning. And then evaluate the next day how well you performed and how well God performed. But there's a big difference between talking to yourself and talking to God.
Yeah, I mean, this is the self-help versus communicating with the creator, you know?
Yeah. There's not a lot of power in Randy. Dear Randy.
Yeah, we've discussed that before about, and this is something, I can't remember which podcast it was, but it really kind of blew my mind because I hadn't noticed how often I'm walking and I'm thinking and I'm using the time and I'm thinking, I'm probably talking to God. This is I call it my prayer time. I'll give it that label as this is my prayer time. And it kind of turns into a self-help. Let me put all the things in my brain and the things that weigh me down out here as some form of, okay, this is a relief to think and to think quietly and to have that space for myself. And I could go away not even actually talking like to God, or it could be that I'm talking to God and it's almost like, it's all the things that I just wish were different for me and my benefit.
Yeah. I think, just thinking that through in his case, when you say, Dear Mike, you're very conscious, you're talking to yourself and that tomorrow you're going to go back and look at it. And if you say, Dear God, then you're hopefully you're by faith concluding that there's somebody there. There's somebody there other than you that's listening. And there's somebody there other than you that cares. In the case of Randy Fairman, I say that sometimes my prayers are conscious that I'm actually talking to somebody that's present and alive, and sometimes it's just sort of a formula. I don't like the fact that that's true, but so I struggle. I mean, I the Steve Brown led me to Jesus in 1996. He was involved with a couple people, but Steve Brown was a navigator that was involved in that, and he basically encouraged me to pray a lot and to think a lot through the whole thing. But I realized that in that process of coming to know Jesus, he told me that for whatever, 30, 40, 50 years, I don't know, maybe 100 years, he every day did the same thing. And he'd read a psalm and he'd write in his journal and he'd do this and he'd do that. And it's kind of, man, that is just not me. So for me, you know, I'll go for a walk every day and talk to God. And within about 90 days, all at once, I'm out there going for a walk, and the talking to God's not really talking to God anymore. It's just doing what I do. So then I have to start writing journal entries.
And so, is that what you do to switch it? Like to, I mean, do you catch yourself?
Yeah, it just starts to feel, I start to realize that this isn't, I'm not even conscious of an actual relationship with God in this prayer. And so then I switch it. So it's, but for me, I just become aware that actually this is no longer about a relationship. This is all about Randy doing what Randy does. Mm-hmm. And he's not really even conscious that there is a God during prayer, right? So for me, I have to switch things up because I'm the kind of person that routine things just become a check in the block. Hmm. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I got this text message from a friend this past week actually on prayer, and he's like, it's something along the lines of how can you teach or show his kids to pray properly. It's almost as if he's recognizing the same, probably a similar dilemma here, or at least with me, the dilemma is I'm in such a deep thought process of what I'm doing, what I need, that I'm not super conscious. Am I solving problems? Like, am I just, you know, maybe I'm good at fixing things anyway, in the real physical world. And so I'm just putting that into my brain and thinking it's prayer, that I'm just sitting around trying to fix all the problems. And, but yeah, the way he worded his question, it really provoked me thinking my kids are watching, they're listening. What are they hearing? Am I teaching them to pray? How am I teaching? I am teaching them to pray. That's for sure. And how am I teaching them to pray?
Yeah, I think the idea that there is another person involved when I pray, I'm just thinking this kind of a strange comment here.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's another person involved when I pray, I mean, God, is, it's probably the most important, in my mind, it's the most important point of prayer, is that there's actually someone else involved.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I've ever really thought about trying to teach my kids or anyone else that particular point.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of, so we teach our kids, whether we intentionally teach our kids or not, like they're listening. And I'm just thinking of the people that I've met. I mean, there's a friend here who at one time was in a pretty broken place, and he was asking, you know, what do I do? How do I? I was like, well, you need to pray. You need to talk to God. And he was like, how do I do that? And, you know, I've met people who've, you know, they've never heard of Jesus, right? Or at least they've grown, maybe they've grown to a point where, okay, now they've heard of him. What do we do with him? You know? And, you know, in sitting down with them and talking or discussing the Bible or whatever, and then giving them a chance to pray, it's like, you do it. I don't know what to do. You go, you do it. But yeah, when you just said, there's another person in the room, it made me think this is a really good way of teaching someone how to pray. God's right here. He's a person.
I mean, I'm just looking here at I think it's Mark chapter 6, where the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. And then he starts off with, Father, hallowed be your name. I think I've focused on that in a lot of different ways in the past, but the fact that there's another person involved, I guess you could say, is clear there for the beginning.
Yeah.
I remember this one gal that Robin and I hung out with a lot when we were in Central Asia. She asked us to teach her how to pray because she wanted to be able to bend God. She wanted to be able to bend God's will so that he would give her what she wanted. So like the reason that she wanted to know how to pray was because she felt there was probably a formula that would allow her to get God to do what she wanted to do. I remember saying, like, after a decade of the same type of how do I get God to do what we want to do.
That's a long time.
Eventually, I told her, I don't think God's roaming the world trying to find people that are willing to let him serve them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the God that I serve is more looking for people who want to serve him. And so if your goal is to find a God that is willing to serve you in whatever way you want, then probably I don't have any answers.
Hmm.
If I could go back again and talk to her, I wonder whether I might focus on the otherness of God and his, you know, like, okay, you want to know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You probably need to figure out his interest, pay attention to him.
Yeah. Do you think it's unique that we have Jesus who was led into the desert? So we have God who put himself in this place, right? The desert, was tempted, went through what we go through on a regular basis.
Hmm. That's kind of what launched us here. Is last week we were talking about the Jesus being full of the Spirit led into the wilderness to be tempted, and then here when the thing that it says, lead us not into temptation. So the very end of Jesus's prayer, like the disciples say, teach us to pray, and mm-hmm. it's a few short statements. Holy, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, lead us not into temptation. It's just such a...
It is short.
And it's interesting, I mean, lead us not into temptation. I was struck a little bit by the fact that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness to be tempted. I guess if we take the opposite, if we said, lead us into temptation, that doesn't seem very prudent.
Yeah, I guess it's like, okay, so God doesn't tempt people, is what we've discussed, as we know this from the Bible. And so it's like, well, what is it that's happening here? Like, is God leading people or is he not leading people into temptation? At least this is the catch of my mind. And the opposite, if you think of it, if the statement bothers you, I guess the statement bothered me, saying, God, lead us not into temptation, like as if God would or could, like what's happening? So the statement bothered me. And if we switch it around, it's like, okay, God, lead me into temptation. If you pray something like that, there's some sort of boldness that is probably ungodly that you have, and confidence in yourself that you could actually succeed. And so I think that's the idea, right? Like, or at least as I'm reading this, I'm thinking the posture is probably you don't need to be thinking that you're good enough to succeed. It's okay that you don't have this overconfidence in yourself. That you need God, period. Like, you need God, especially in a temptation.
I mean, just when you say that, I'm looking at each statement in there sort of fresh, asking myself the question about humility.
Yeah.
You know, Father, holy is your name, your kingdom come. So that's it's clearly a statement of I'm small compared to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're better. Then the second one with humility, give us each day our daily bread. I'm willing to rely on you day by day. I'm not asking for everything there, and I don't have what I need. And then the forgive us our sins is, it's clearly I have been led into, I have been in temptation and failed. I have a need for forgiveness. I don't consider myself better than others. We ourselves forgive. Everyone is indebted to us. There's a not a sense that I think that I'm better than others, and they have to live up to my standard. And then, lead us not into temptation. Sort of a recognition of our need. The opposite of give me everything I need for the next 10 years, and then don't worry about the sin. I don't have any. They've all been forgiven.
Yeah,
and go ahead and lead me into temptation.
I've got this one, God.
I've sort of grown up here. You know, I've now been a Christian for a couple decades.
Done this for a long time.
Got this a long time. Pretty much I got enough money in the bank to handle everything I need for the next couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't sinned in a while. Don't really have any fresh things to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And go ahead, lead me into some temptation. I got this today.
So when I've been teaching others, this is a while back, I used to teach students, and some students would come to me, like if at the end of a message or something, and one guy in particular, I remember he's really young, and he came to me, and he came broken, and he was just like, I am into this certain sin, and I need help. And my temptation, I guess, was to tell him of all the things that he should do to not do it again. And basically, I came from a posture of, and maybe this was just my lack of humility, but I looked at it as, okay, I've gotten this far, and it seems like the things that I'm doing every day are keeping me from it. And so you just need to do these same things. You need to have these certain disciplines. And if you do these things, it'll be good. And it seemed like a posture of, I don't know if it was helpful, to be honest. I mean, maybe it was helpful in the self-help world, but spiritually, I don't know that it had the posture of desperate dependency, need of God to deliver.
Yeah, I think that the otherness of God, mm-hmm. the being different than talking to ourselves,
yeah,
and the recognition that there are techniques to deal with temptation, and yet experience would indicate that there are times where we're going to fail. So I think the dependency and the hope on the God that could just deliver us from any temptation that we can't resist. Yeah, I think that's right, that there's a danger of teaching people techniques as if the techniques were adequate, when in reality they're not. I'm just thinking back to my friend Steve Brown that I told you about.
Yeah.
His technique was to do the same thing every day. And for him, that was really effective. And my friend Steve Schmidt, he's actually another SIM guy, a mm-hmm. hero of mine. He said, he oftentimes will say, the habits, the things that we do regularly are the most important and most changing things. And then there's Randy, who the same thing over and over in the techniques for me, caused me to forget about the one that the technique is all about. And so I wind up going in cyclical behaviors rather than steady Freddy. And so I guess in the end, probably each person is going to have a different technique. It's probably unique. When we pray, I guess Jesus gives us this model, a lot of different ways to do it, huh?
Yeah.
When it comes to people that are considering cross-cultural ministry, going to learn a new language to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus, is there anything in this discussion that seems like it'd be particularly relevant for them?
I think the idea of going to, let's say, a difficult place, I think it naturally brings up your own will and your own strength. Like, it's like if you see some mountain before you, at some point you have to go through the process of, can I physically make it up this path? And so I think, for me at least, it's been, I've got to muster up something to do this. It's a big thing. It's a big difficult task. It's a big deal, whatever it is. People are looking, and, it seems like this prayer kind of repositions the way we should think and feel about, well, anything we do. But for me, going, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This isn't about the name that I'm going to make for myself. It's actually, I'm probably going to lose my name. And this is about your name. This isn't about my will. It's not about what I prefer have happen or prefer be done or prefer feel. It's really about your kingdom. It's about your will. And give us like this day, our daily bread. Definitely going to be times where it's like, it doesn't feel like it's enough. Like God doesn't feel like it's enough what he's given me, and I want more. And forgive debts as we've forgiven our debtors, forgive our sins. For me, going, I've been in a place where it's like, God, forgive me of my sin. And then I want to forgive others. Do I want to forgive others? Like, do I feel I have the power to forgive others? Like, it starts to come into question. Like, do I need to forgive this person for doing that? And yeah, it's just natural, I think. And yeah, lead us not into temptation. We want to have a faith that's tested like Abraham, you know, with Isaac. Like, that'd be golden. But to stand on our own confidence and that we might be able to push through some sort of temptation and come out with a new renewed strength in our own selves would be quite arrogant. And so the posture to just kind of to shy away from it, to fall to our faces and ask God to lead us not to temptation. Yeah, totally relevant and going, at least for me it is.
Just while you were saying that, I was sort of going through it and thinking through the language learning process that I went through. And then I was looking at the verbs. So it's like, Father, the otherness of God.
Yeah.
Be holy. Hallowed be. It's sort of like, be who you are. Father, just be you. Holy, hallowed be your name. It's like, I don't know. You're like calling him to be God. And then your kingdom come. And the give us each, give us each day, the each dayness of it. I have to say, when you're trying to learn a language and 3 months in, you're saying, I'm going to the bazaar, that there's a certain hopelessness about the thing. And it's just one day at a time. It's just each day, just today. Yeah. Just help me get through today. It's just one day. I can't begin to think about 3 years. It's just one day. Please help me just with one day. And then the forgiving us our sins. I think when you first start doing full-time ministry and people are paying for your way of life, you imagine somehow you ought to be better than you are.
Yeah.
And there's a temptation to imagine that your sins aren't there, or to bury them, or to hide them, or to be ashamed of them and to not talk about them. But the otherness of God, it's like, you forgive. I need you to forgive me. And then missionaries, no matter what agency you talk to, no matter where you go, they will all say the same thing, that the hardest thing about being a missionary is dealing with other missionaries. And the reason is, or this is the world according to Randy. The reason is, according to Randy, is that we went there to serve these poor heathens that obviously sin. And they don't know Jesus. They need Jesus. We went there to serve them. But these other missionaries, they ought to know better.
Yeah.
They ought to be better than me. And so, the reminder to forgive 100% of everything every missionary did yesterday.
Yeah, that's really good.
And lead us. The otherness of God, like, he's real. It's easy to say, lead us not into temptation, and just imagine that this is a self-help book. But this is an active leading, right? This is another personality. This is God, or a real sentient living being that we're saying, lead us.
Yeah.
Please lead me. Today, I need to be led. Today, I need to be led, and it's my hope, please, that the way you're going to lead me today is specifically not into temptation. So yeah, I just think back to that language learning process, and the each dayness of the thing is really key. Father, I pray you'd use this podcast for your glory. I pray that you'd help me and Ben and everyone else to remember that this is not a self-help book, that there is, you are real, that you are more real than we are. You are holy. And I pray that help us to remember that all day today as you lead us not into temptation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.